Welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime and somebody that I haven't paid yet this month, Rob Landerman. What's going on, Rob?
What's going on? I'm limiting my words until I have received funds in my hands, so you're getting 1,000 words and 1,000 words only on this podcast, so if I immediately stop mid-sentence, you know what happened.
That's a lot.
That's 48 words already.
We'll probably cover it with that commercial break at that point. Rob, I will do some of the talking here because I don't want to use up my word allocation there, but we have some pretty significant fantasy news today as we record, which is that Manchester City have just had their match against Stoke confirmed as a double game week in match week 27. We assumed it would be as such, but with that Wednesday, there was a chance they were just going to list it as match week 28, but they have not. Obviously, with the double game week being listed, a lot of people are looking at Manchester City, but Rob, you mentioned to me before the show that you're thinking about maybe zigging while everyone else zags.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the double game week has been confirmed, so you know, everybody's is going to jump on the Raheem Sterling's, the Kevin De Bruyne's, the 12 dot whatever Sergio Aguero's. I don't think that anybody on the City defense is noteworthy that you'd bring him in. John Stones is garbage. Otamendi is poo. You know, Clichy and everybody else is basically rotational guys. Zabaleta, no. Looking at City's schedule, that's the thing that's throwing me off here with people buying into it. And, you know, it's basically a one-week commitment here because they double in game week 28, but then they blank in 27 and they blank in 28. Same thing as Stoke. But comparing the prices of players and then contrasting that with City's upcoming schedule, they play their first double game week Saturday. They play their second double game week Wednesday. Then they play the FA Cup game on Saturday. And then they play their Champions League game the following Wednesday. That's four games in basically, you know, a shorter amount of time than players, especially of, you know, the age and rotation of Pep, like to play. So people bringing in Raheem Sterling at his price, 7.8. You know, I did a little numbers and saw who was bringing in what right now. And, you know, Gabbadini, whatever his name is, the Italian striker for Southampton, is the most transferred in player currently right now in the Premier League. Mm. But focusing on the double game week, guys, Raheem Sterling, 46,000 transfers in. Leroy Sané, 11,000 transfers in. Sergio Aguero's only at 28,000 in. These are all very, very premature because the news basically just happened because we were recording this basically an hour after the kickoff, the conclusion of the game. So you look at those are the three bigger names, I think, that are probably going to be looked at, and Kevin De Bruyne. But then you look across the table and you say, well, you know, I'm looking for differentials here. Look at some of the names that Stoke offers. You know, Joe Allen's being brought in at 12,000 times at 5.1. He gets two games just like, you know, City does. You know, John Stones is being brought in at 12,000 as well. I don't see why. What has John Stones done for anybody besides basically be, you know, a fantasy preseason darling and then done nothing but look like an awful fantasy asset? And then the other one I particularly like this week because of his price point and his attention. I don't think that anybody's going to look this way because I think people are under the false impression that Man City has a stout defense, and they don't. Peter Crouch is being brought in at 8,000 times already this week. Either people were speculating that, you know, this was going to happen because, you know, City was going to do their business against Huddersfield, and they did. So, you know, kudos if you did already. But these are the guys' names that I think you should be paying attention to, the names that are listed. I think Joe Allen, I think Eric Peters, I think Peter Crouch. I think, you know, if you want to take a gamble on a Marko Arnautovic at 7.1, I'm leaning the way of, yeah, you could bring in Raheem Sterling. But is there a guarantee, Kevin, in your mind that he absolutely gets both games in this fixed in this double game week?
No, I think rotation definitely has to be an issue for the Manchester City players. On the other side, I really like your shout of Joe Allen. I don't think he's listed as somebody I was going to talk about today. Yeah, he wasn't. But the fact that Jeff Cameron is now back and fit means that Joe Allen will probably likely be able to stay forward more. Yep. He has been playing as a quote-unquote 10 the past few weeks. But obviously they aren't as, he isn't as capable of staying up as when you have somebody as defensively minded as Jeff Cameron in there. But yeah, for Manchester City, I do think there's concern. I do very much like Raheem Sterling this week, though. What I don't understand, the thing that I don't understand about what's going on with this double game week, is how willing everybody is to kind of sell the farm, take a minus four or even a minus eight to get in these City players when it's basically just evening things out. Because they're going to play two matches over the next 2 weeks, just like all the other non-blanking teams.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't understand why you're taking minuses to get back to neutral. Like, this is not a clear benefit unless you're captaining them, because then it's giving you the chance to double up on those points.
Well, I think your theory there is basically, if you bring in, say, you have one transfer this week, and you bring in two players, and one of those players, I would imagine that both players are probably double game week players. I don't see any other roster moves this week that would make any other sense. I think that people will take a minus this week to bring in a double game week player and take the 4 point hit. But if you look at it this way, if you bring in a player like Raheem Sterling, he completely blanks on the game weeks, doesn't score, doesn't assist, doesn't do anything. You're basically breaking even at that 4 points because he's getting two per game for minutes if he plays. So you're basically breaking even, but you're gambling that absolutely, you're gambling a little bit that he's going to do more than that, which is a good possibility because Man City does have okay fixtures in both game weeks, you know, in both game sets. So you know they're at Sunderland and then they're home to Stoke. I mean, on paper they look like, you know, very good matchups fantasy wise for the players of Sterling's ilk, of Aguero's ilk, if you can get back up to him. You know, it's crazy. I just updated my numbers. I remember how I said Aguero was 28,000 in. He's actually 37,000 in already.
Wow.
And we're 10 minutes into the podcast. I literally did this research right before we went on air.
That's nuts.
So he's currently up to 36,000.
So he's raising in price like tonight or tomorrow.
He's probably, yeah, he's going up. Raheem Sterling is going up as well. Leroy Sané is close to that precipice where he may go up. Precipice is a good word. Good SAT word, Rob. Way to go. But yeah, so I mean, the City players are going to be getting jumped on, you know, by a lot. You know, Sterling's up to 51,000 now. So I mean, the people are jumping on it because the news has come out. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see probably tomorrow morning how the Stoke players are being brought in as well. Like I said, I'm not committed to bringing in a City player because you know I was looking further down the line when their double game week. Your second double game week was when they have to make up against United. I think at the end of the season, I think that could be when you make up a City differential. But I don't think it's this week. I think I would probably lean, because of the salary and the constraints of what's going on with the week after this and having so many players blank, including the team, including the players you're bringing in. Yeah, I'm not committing the kind of funds, especially with, you know, the mid sevens, 10.5 for De Bruyne, you know, 7.8 for Sterling, the 12.7 for Aguero. That's some big chunks of change to move around. I mean, you basically have to sacrifice, you know, a Kane or a Costa to get Aguero, and I don't think I would do that, to be honest.
Yeah, if it was me, and I've thought about this move before. And I'll get into the reasons a little bit later, but I was thinking about maybe going Eriksen to Sterling. But that is only because it would be a -4. Definitely don't go -8. I think a -4 you could adjust, kind of like you mentioned before, with those 4 points. You're at least coming neutral if you captain him. So if you are going to take a minus to bring in a City player, I feel like you have to captain him in order to get a return on your investment.
Yeah, I mean, you could take a -8 and bring in another game, double game week player, and the same rule applies. If they just get the minimums, it's just you're breaking even. You're just playing against, you're buying an extra scratch off that you're gonna, you know, win a free ticket.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Obviously, a lot of different fantasy people have a lot of different takes on this. But that's ours at the moment. And with some of that in mind, we will head into Either Or, where we talk about players and compare them and. Third thing, I don't think we have an official intro for this segment yet. But anyway, here we go. The first one that I have written down is Gylfi Sigurdsson versus Raheem Sterling. Now, we've already talked about Sterling a little bit there. You're getting two matches of both. Sigurdsson, 1-27, 1-28 versus Sterling, 2-27. Siggy's on 7.6, Sterling's on 7.8. I know you have some rotational questions, though. So who would you prefer here? Sigurdsson, obviously, in ridiculous form.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, see, the thing here is, I understand that you're comparing a double game week guy versus single week guy. But if you have Sigurdsson, you're not transferring him back out in the following week in week 28. So I'm going to have both of those games apply here, because if you brought in Sterling, he gets two games this week and then none next week. Whereas with Sigurdsson, you get Swansea versus Burnley this week, and then Swansea plays Hull the following week. So is Swansea better off playing Burnley and Hull with Sigurdsson, or is Raheem Sterling better off playing Sunderland and Stoke in 1 week? Mm-hmm. There's no real difference, because you're basically it's a potato, but yeah, you could call it a red potato, but they're still potatoes because you're still getting two games, and you're not going to transfer Sigurdsson out before next game week, mm-hmm. even if you bring in Sterling. But does that make sense? I kind of confused myself.
I don't really think it helps with this format. Just who would you rather have over the next 2 weeks? I don't think it's saying you have to sell one for the other.
Well, over the next 2 weeks, I'd rather have Sigurdsson. I think the matchups: Burnley at home for Swansea, and then they play at they're at Hull, I believe.
Yeah,
right. They're at Hull.
Yeah,
yeah. I would take Sigurdsson. I think that he's a beast against defensive deprived teams. I know Burnley is a better defensive team than they show. Not away. That right. is the whole thing. So give me Sigurdsson all day. I know the love fest for Sterling and his ownership is going to spike this week because of the double game week. But I'm a Siggy owner. I'm standing pat. I'm not even going anywhere near transferring him out because of these fixtures. Yeah. So yeah, I'd lean Sigurdsson.
Cool. All right, who you got for me?
We'll go up top only because I mentioned his name before. He's the most transferred in player right now. In about 2 hours, he won't be, because somebody from City will be. But Gabbadiani from Southampton, 112,000 transfers in this week. He plays this week against Watford and then blanks next week, Kevin. Mm. Or are you going to go with somebody who's similarly priced, 6.2, Fernando Llorente? I know we just had a big Swans kick there. They have two favorable fixtures. So do you want 1 week of Gabbadiani or 2 weeks of Fernando Llorente?
Man, Gabagoo certainly is tempting with his five goals in three matches for Manchester United, and arguably should have mm-hmm. had a third in that cup final. You know what? I think I got to go with Llorente, though. I was prepared to talk about him later. He has three goals in the last five matches, and he has bottom five defense away this week, Burnley, mm-hmm. and then second next week against Hull, who are also bottom five. And the fact that they don't blank at all is obviously of benefit. Southampton don't double up the way City do, so it literally is a one versus two, and Swansea have the better matches. I will say Llorente is very old school Defoe-like. Obviously not in play style, even a little bit at all. I think Llorente might literally be twice as tall as Jermaine Defoe. But in mm-hmm. Years gone by of Defoe in fantasy, where you just get nothing for 3 weeks, and you might get one or two, and then you're just kind of in this vacuum again, that is how Llorente feels to me. But with Sigurdsson in the form that he's in, I'm assuming that there's still going to be a fair few chances coming his way. Leroy Fair being in there, I think, also helps the attack in general. It kind of in a rising tides raise all ships kind of situation. Just the mm-hmm. more Swans you're getting forward, the more it gives Llorente chances to get on balls that are either deflected or just direct chances created. So yeah, I think I'd probably go Llorente actually.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably lean Llorente as well, because
I'm going Gabbadiani if it's daily though. But for the next
Gabbadiani, absolutely. Gabbadiani and Daly is a money play. I didn't actually look at his numbers yet, but he's probably closer to probably 8 than 7 this week. I'd probably lean Llorente. I think the matchups. But, I asked this question of you, but they're basically coming in as your third striker here. So basically, if you have a better feeling for a fifth midfielder, then I'd probably lean that way. I know it doesn't correlate to the question that I asked, because I asked which guy of these two. But people at home, if you're having this this conundrum, if you have a better fifth midfielder than you think either of these guys is, then go in that direction. But okay, so my next one is we already talked about the double game weeks here, but I had this one written down and I wanted to say it. Raheem Sterling or Joe Allen?
Interesting. Isn't Joe Allen like hilariously cheaper?
5.1, but they both have double game weeks. That's true. Why I'm bringing it up.
I don't think this is really an opinion take. I think this is just how much money do you have in your bank?
Exactly.
Yeah. So if I have, if I'm running a pretty tight ship and I don't have a lot of money left over in the kitty, I'd probably go Joe Allen. If I do have enough money, I'd probably go in Sterling. But like I said, Joe Allen, there is a promise, even though the last few matches haven't been great. I really do think the return of Jeff Cameron could help him out.
I agree. And from the last couple games I've seen of Joe Allen, he has been eking forward a little bit more. It's not a consistent thing. It's a more of a game flow, push forward kind of thing, sit there for a while and then return. But he has been basically been into that number. It's like a 10, we'll call it 10 and a half. We'll give him 10 and a half.
Fair enough. Somebody else that's adopted that role lately is Nasir Chadli, who's been doing very well lately, versus Snodgrass, who hasn't really made huge strides since being at West Ham. Chadli at 6.0, Snodgrass at 5.8. Who are you taking?
I got to take the savings here. And I like what I've seen from Chadli. I think he's more of a – I think this role suits him in the West Brom, starting 11. I think that the players around him develop – play around him more than he was developing play around other people on the wing. Is that, if that makes complete sense? That totally makes sense. I just replayed it in my head. But I like him where he is. I think he's better centrally. I don't think he's has a pressure to run down, beat a defender. I think he can do what he has to do on the ball and then dish it off to, you know, the Rondons, the Phillips on the wing, and then let them do something else. But he seems like he's been in a good place for pace of play, for build up for West Brom. I know the results really haven't been overwhelming, but I mean, he's still getting on the sheet somewhat. So he's not a complete like blank, but you know, he's basically, if you made the switch a couple weeks ago from Phillips to Chadli, I believe you have 11 points in your favor over the last 3 weeks. So yeah. It's pretty good. So I'd probably choose Nasir Chadli.
Cool. Yeah, Chadli does have some rough fixtures coming up, but I tend to agree with you for now. We've said in years past, you know, I'd much rather be a week late than a week early. And that's kind of how I'm feeling about Snodgrass at the moment. He's already in my team, so I don't really have a choice. But, you know, if I had neither, I'd probably go Chadli for now. All right, now we have basically a bracket style from my side. Kane at 11.3 or Ibra at 11.5, both of them blank last week, but both of them have been scoring ridiculous amounts of goals lately. Kane has 2 hat tricks in the last week. And Ibra obviously scored a brace in the FA Cup final. Who would you rather have at this point?
It comes down to who they're playing. I trust United to score more against Bournemouth than I think Spurs to score against Everton. I think Everton's defense is better than Bournemouth's now. Both of these players are at home. I'd probably lean Ibra. You know, and like you said, both players do blank next week. So, you know, Bournemouth has been shipping goals in bunches. I don't trust it at all, especially against a team like United who could punch in 2 or 3. So give me Ibra.
Fair enough. You got anybody left?
I got one left, only because I think I mentioned him like in the last couple game weeks, and now that Mikel Antonio is going to miss the next game, Sofyan Feghouli at 5.0. Or Josh King at 5.4.
Josh King, it's not even close. You know I've been in love with him from day one. You were always the Stanislas guy. I was always the King guy. 4 goals in his last 5 matches. Josh King is the truth with some cheese on it.
All right. I mean, I think without Antonio for West Ham, I think Feghouli gets a little bit better run and in a position to play a little bit better. But that's just me. But Josh King, like you said, is on point right now. He's basically the if you moved from Phillips to Chadli, this is the junior Stanislas to Josh King move. You know, everybody should have done that move if you wanted to stay with the same players from the same team. That's basically what you should have done. I love Feghouli. I think there's a lot to blossom from him. I think he's a blossoming player right now. And it's not because, you know, I own him in other leagues and I think that he's got, you know, potential to do other things, but I like what I see from him. I think that he's a blossoming player, and I hope he does something and breaks, you know, breaks through and actually makes a name for himself. But I like him a little bit better this week, or not this week, the following week against, you know, who he's playing because of no Mikel Antonio. But we'll see. So, but Josh King is a money pick. There's no real wrong answer. A lot of people are going to be picking Josh King. He is being transferred in a ton this week, 17,000 in already for a Bournemouth player that plays United. And then they play West Ham the following week. So,
yeah,
you know.
All right, well, now for the conclusion of my players tournament. You took Ibrahimovic over Kane. So the question for you is, would you rather have Lukaku for 2 weeks or Ibrahimovic for this 1 week against Bournemouth, knowing he could put up 2 or 3 against this Bournemouth defense, whereas Lukaku tends to score in singles, although that does sound hilarious after he scored 4, whatever that was, like a month ago.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably take the – I always having the luxury of having a high-priced player be in the lineup – every game. I know it's you know that Lukaku plays Spurs and then he plays West Brom at home. You know, I don't know the splits for Lukaku home away goal scored, but I'm probably imagine they're probably a little bit favored depending on where he scored the four. Is basically what it is. So I'm leaning to the guy who's playing in both fixture weeks because having a 9.8 player, you know, in the lineup compared to an 11.5 player on your bench it's not anything to think about. You know, this you're going into a fist fight with three fingers on your one hand. It's your punch is just not going to be as strong.
Yeah, the one obvious downside there is that they do have Tottenham and West Brom these next 2 weeks. Everton do, and those are not easy defenses to break down.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was trying to look at the home away goals for. Yeah. He's got more at home. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. Well, I've just gotten a text from Rob off air. Apparently, I'm now paying him time and a half. Now that we've gone over those 1,000 words.
Thousand words, time and a half.
But yeah, so we'll be doing that from here on out. So with these extra words that I have now, why don't you hit us with some price change information?
Price changes. You know, it's premature in the week because of everybody waiting for the news. We've talked about the City players, Aguero, Sterling, Sané, Kevin De Bruyne, probably John Stones, you know, are going to go up. Joe Allen will probably go up. So those are all speculative guys to keep an eye on. If you want to make a roster move now, do it. It's probably already too late because you're listening to this, and it may be just in time to do it. But guys that have gone up already this week, Gareth McCauley, he's a goal machine. He's got 6, leads all defenders in the Premier League. Josh King, we've been talking about him. Kevin loves him. He's made him his pet walker, right? Dog walker for the week. Pedro for Chelsea has gone up. Be careful. He blanks next week, but he looks like he's firmly planted in that lineup now.
Yeah, he's starting to look a good option, yeah.
As is Cesc Fabregas, I believe. I think Cesc plays pretty much the rest of the way out unless an injury happens, I think. Sigurdsson's gone up, obviously, because look at Swansea's next two fixtures. They're very favorable. We've gone over to talk with the either or, and I think we both pick Siggy, but you know, who knows. Lukaku has gone up, doesn't blank, and people just love laying their luck on Lukaku. Gabbadini has gone up because of what he's done recently. You know, 5 goals in his last 3 games, all comps. You know, that's a good success rate, and people like to see what's in front of their face. And then Harry Kane has gone up only because hat tricks make people buy into everything, and they think it'll just, you know, translate against an Everton team that is a better defensive team than people really realize. I think it's a bad week for price up, price downs because, you know, basically the news for the week is just breaking now. So it's tough to, you know, jump on everything and, you know, break it down. But the price downs so far, Laurent Koscielny, you know, Arsenal plays Liverpool this week. I think people are expecting some kind of goals. He is owned in 14.7% of leagues, which is kind of high. Bellerin's is above him still. But yeah, I'm not expecting much from Arsenal, Liverpool. I wouldn't go anywhere near any of the defense. And Dejan Lovren has gone down as well. So yeah, don't expect much from that game. Liverpool's last clean sheet was week 19, just for anybody who cared. Alexis Sanchez has gone down. That's good for everybody because he'll play this week blank, and then we'll all buy back in. Theo Walcott has gone back down because Theo is okay after he scored 100. He's got his 100th now, so I think we can all just relax. Junior Stanislas has gone down. Listen, you should have made the move like 4 weeks ago because he's just not fit, not in the right place, not doing anything fantasy relevancy-wise. Henrik Mkhitaryan has gone down. He blanks, and his price is just not conducive to keeping your roster for 1 week and then you know, hope and pray that something doesn't happen. Matty Phillips gone down. Form. He's basically in the Junior Stanislas category of he was good a month ago. Jermaine Defoe, you know, they play City this week, and then they blank. There's other better options this week than Jermaine Defoe, especially guys on doubles. I'd rather own 15 other strikers than Jermaine Defoe probably for the next 2 weeks. What's his name? Andy Carroll has gone down, but it's an okay move because they don't blank, and he's back in training this week. I don't know if he's going to feature this game, upcoming game week, but it's good to know that he's training. And you know, West Ham does not have Mikel Antonio, so it's a good bet. I bet you we see Andy Carroll this weekend. And then two.
Oh, I actually have information going the other way against that.
Okay, so he's not going
to
play?
Yeah, yeah, he is. He has returned to training, but Sean Whetstone, who's our West Ham correspondent on the EPL roundtable, said that it's very unlikely that we see him this weekend.
Okay, well there you go. Well, yeah. I just figured he was back in training. They're down a star player. Maybe yeah. Get some firepower.
You know, your logic is sound. I just happen to weirdly know that.
Yeah, Olivier Giroud has gone down because he's like the super sub now, and then he blanks, and Divock Origi just cannot get into the lineup there for Jurgen Klopp, but it's not really anybody that you really want to roster now. But he's got a bigger name that people fell in love with early in the year, so he's worth a mention.
Yep,
that is it. That's it.
Excellent shouts from you. And now we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're back. Did you miss us? How much? Tell us how much you missed us.
Ooh, show me with fingers.
Wow, that was a lot. Show me on the stall how much you missed us. All right. Well, now we are going to head into start sit, where we talk about players that we would start or sit. My forward for starts is Diego Costa on 10.6. I know he hasn't been on fire lately, but West Ham have kept two clean sheets in the last 10 matches.
Oof.
So, I think Chelsea are going to score a lot here. As you mentioned, looks like Pedro's locked down that job. Looks like Fabregas is on his way. I'm less convinced that he has the job from here on out, just because Matic and Conte have been so good together. But, you know, Chelsea aren't worse when they make that change. So I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, I think the Chelsea attack is about to start hitting top gear a little bit more as those players either mesh in or find form. I just think Costa is super dangerous. And as somebody that had to watch him, or somebody that's going to have to watch him not play next week, I'm pinning a fair few hopes on him for this week at least. And then the other one that I was going to do, the low key that we already kind of blew the doors off of, is Llorente at 6-2. For anybody that's like stuck with Gray, but also can still field a full team. Because I have seen some people kind of giving suggestions without mentioning the fact that there's going to be a blank. And like, if you can't field a full 11 next week, you shouldn't be swapping out players that you think might have a bad week that still play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just kind of keep an eye on that. But if you have a full 11 and you want to swap Gray for Llorente, I think that's a very easy lateral move. In midfield, Gylfi Sigurdsson is hilariously the most obvious. He is top five over the last five matches in goals, assists, chances created, and successful crosses. Also tied for most shots on target. So those are basically the important stats, and he's top five in all of them. So he's good. Also has good matchups, as we talked about earlier. Also, I'm glad you talked about Josh King, but I also want to give a little love to our boy Ryan Fraser, who has actually locked down that job. He started 8 straight matches now, and while Bournemouth's defensive has been awful, the attack hasn't been. And Fraser has been top five in chances created over the last 5 matches, and at 4.8, you're just looking for basically any value, doesn't blank. Just a sneaky play there with Ryan Fraser as the counterplay to King. And King is already a counterplay to everyone else. So I think that's a pretty interesting diversion there. And in defense, I think there's a lot of interesting teams this week that people haven't been trusting. I think you were a week early on Hull, but I do think they're interesting here. But it was a good shout on you seeing that coming. I think Swansea are interesting this week, although I will be full disclosure here. Swansea actually have the worst home defense in the Premier League, but they're facing the league's worst away attack in Burnley. So we've talked about it before in the show. It's a little bit of the movable object meets the stoppable force. It'll be interesting to see which way that goes. I think United have the easiest matchup on paper this week. And then West Brom, I think, are interesting, specifically if you have Macaulay, because he has the most goals of any center back in the Premier League this season. And it depends what format you're in on if Antonio is counting as a defender or not. And if he isn't counted as a defender, then it's Macaulay with the most goals total for defenders. And apparently he's just going to keep doing that. Also, isn't he like 38 It is so strange that all of a sudden he's like popped into fantasy relevancy. But whatever. Who you got, my man?
My starts this week are basically an SOS. Start. No, that's dumb. SAS. How about SAS? We'll do SAS. Start all Stoke. SOS made no damn sense there. So on defense, Eric Peters, get him in your lineup. They play Burrow and City this week. It's going to be all Stoke here for me because I think it's the way to go this week for players who are looking to make up room and make up differential. I think there's a ton of attention being paid to City here this week, and I think the players that are going to be overlooked are people from Stoke, and I think that the price tags that they have are going to be overlooked because people think that City is just going to come out of nowhere and could be all guns blazing and score 12 goals in the two games. I don't think it's going to happen. Through midfield, it's Joe Allen, 5.1. Listen, he's an easy transfer of anybody that doesn't blank or does blank in week 28. So look somewhere in that direction. And then forward, guess what? It's Peter Crouch. His price tag is easily transferred to your third striker, and he gets two games this week, and then you can just make another move and bring in somebody who doesn't blank the next week. I think if you're going to take a minus this week, I think taking a minus on bringing in a Potter player is awesome. I think it's a good thing. I'm selling out on doing it, so I might as well just commit to it. So on to my sits. Everybody just saw what Jamie Vardy did to Liverpool on Monday, and I think people are going to be severely disappointed. I know he's not really a fantasy name right now, but I'm just throwing out there that people are going to be buying into him because he does play against Hull and Leicester is home. But people remember what just happened more than what really happened this whole season. So Jamie Vardy is an avoid. Through the midfield, Henry Mkhitaryan, his price tag is just not sexy enough, and the blank following is even worse. I don't like it at all. I know people are swear by somebody from the United midfield, but I don't buy into it. And on defense, I'm going to commit a blasphemous act here and say sit Chelsea defenders. I know you can't really sit Chelsea defenders, but if you're given the option versus Baines or Azpilicueta or Coleman or Alonso, I'm leaning towards guys who Chelsea hasn't a clean sheet in four games for a reason because we're getting beat by chintzy goals, and chintzy goals suck for clean sheet possibilities and ruin your fantasy day. I'd probably roll with Everton over Chelsea guys this week. That's my sits. Kevin, who you got?
Yeah, up front, I'm super off on Christian Benteke still. One goal in 10. He's 20th in shots on target over the last five matches and has West Brom this week, a top 10 defense, and then blanks. So not really there. I've seen some people thinking like Crystal Palace coming a little resurgency after last week's win. But let's not forget last week required a goal from a defender for them to win that one. So I'm still super not sold on Crystal Palace. In midfield, this is going to be my big controversial pick of the week in basically everything that I do fantasy-wise. And it's Christian Eriksen. Now, before we get into this, I know that he just had two assists last week. But I think he's a really good sell high. He's at 8.7, and he doesn't play through the blank, which is a concern. I already mentioned last week that I didn't want to have too many Spurs players. I know it looks silly now because Kane, Ali, and Eriksen were all involved in multiple goals. But I really don't want to do that for the long term because over the next five matches, they have three top 10 defenses that they're going to face, and they blank in one of them. And so that's not great. Specifically this week, it's against an Everton defense that has been very much improving. And Tottenham versus Everton, those two teams have combined for 2+ goals only once since 2013. This is not a high-scoring affair. I just think that a lot of people are looking to buy in on Eriksen, and I just think they missed it. I think that the opportunity was there, and now it's gone. So anyway, it depends on whether or not I feel like I can go to Sterling and captain him this week. But if I don't, I will still have him. So, like, full disclosure, I'm not, like, saying you have to get rid of him, but just kind of keep an eye on it. Maybe don't expect that much if you are stuck holding on to him, because against Everton, Tottenham have not been scoring lots of goals, and the next few weeks don't look super great on the schedule either. And in defense, Arsenal versus Liverpool, I think, is a match where you don't want it at all. And I want to say Spurs versus Everton, but kind of like you were saying with Chelsea, if you have a Coleman or a Walker, you're already paying so much money to have them, it's unlikely that you're just going to sit them full stop. And they're all attacking players, so maybe they'll get on the score sheet. But, yeah, they're also players I wouldn't be expecting too much out of this week. What do you think about that Erickson call? Do you think I'm crazy?
No. I mean, hey, if you – you know, this game is all about feeling. So if you have a feeling, do it.
Yeah. What if I'm hooked on a feeling?
I don't know. That sounds like something from like Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, man. They actually wrote the song and Blue Swede stole it. I can't believe they got away with that.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy that they would have done also, it 20 years before.
I know. They're time traveling pirate people.
Yeah. Mm.
Saved it. Also, if you're listening to this and you just heard Rob's Guardians of the Galaxy joke, go see the final cinematic trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because it looks real good. It would be hard for it to be as good as the first one, but they're trying. They're doing their best. All right, so on to our teams. I know we probably didn't have much time to make moves since the City match when we learned all this stuff, but are there any things you were planning on doing?
You know, I'm sitting still right now. You know, I've tinkered with trying to do something with trying to get another Everton player in for the blank week for most teams for next week. And I haven't come up with a viable solution yet. So, I mean, I'm still rolling with what I got. I got Foster and Pickford in the net. I got Alonzo, Peters, Baines, Azpilicueta, and Harry Maguire on defense. Coutinho, Phillips, Davies, Ali, Sigurdsson through the midfield, Lukaku, Negredo, Kane up top. Still haven't been able to get Negredo out of my lineup. That may be my one move this week because I do kind of like the Stoke team, so maybe I'll go Negredo to Crouch. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't really focused too much on what I need to do, what I'm going to do. I'm just kind of laying in the weeds, waiting for everybody else to make a mistake, and then I'm going to jump out and bite them.
Yeah, I was going for a Panther sound. I don't think that came across. All right. I already made a move. I've been losing team value by the day, basically. So I was forced into a move from Phillips to Ryan Fraser, who I mentioned earlier, who I think is a really interesting option. I know it's against United this week, which isn't super ideal, but the underlying stats certainly seem to be there for him. And then the other move I could make would be Eriksen to Sterling if I want to captain Sterling. But I'm not... I don't know. Some stats on Sterling, by the way. He's contributed to more City goals than everyone but Sergio Aguero this season. He's only one shy in all competitions. And the eye test confirms it. He's looked so good for them. Easily could have been involved in a couple of goals today in the FA Cup match. I do agree with you that rotation could be an issue, though. And as I said, I don't really see the point in taking a minus to get a player in that's going to play two matches when... people already have players that have two matches, but the reason why I think the Eriksen one makes sense is because he doesn't play both of those matches. But anyway, I will burn that bridge when I get to it. I already mentioned that if I bring in Sterling, he'll be my captain. If I don't, I'm probably going to go Costa against West Ham or Sigurdsson against Burnley. Who are you thinking?
Ooh, you know, it's tough. It's kind of weird. The Lukaku and Kane game kind of wipes out, you know, players against each other. This could be a sneaky captain week, you know, depending on what people do. If people are, you know, still have Sanchez on their team, I think Sanchez is a weird call against Liverpool. I don't know that I would trust it. I think it wipes out all the Liverpool players as well. You know, Sigurdsson is a ballsy call this week for a captain. Or, you know, if you have a double game week player.
I like the Sigurdsson one. 3 goals and 3 assists in his last 5, man. Yeah. Dude's on fire.
And if you have a double game week player, I think if you bring in Aguero, I think you're captaining Aguero for the
you
double,
have to, yeah.
double game. Or if you bring in Sterling, you're going to double captain him.
Yeah. Fair enough. Is that what you're doing though?
I don't know. I'm tempted to bring in Sterling and be a lemming and do what everybody else does, only because it seems like the right move to do right now on paper. So, but
interesting.
Yeah, I'm leaning in the way of Stoke, but that's just me. Only because financially it makes sense, and then you can, it won't feel as bad when you take a minus. I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Kevin. I'm kind of blasé on it right now, to be honest with you. I've had a loss of words, which is an interesting first time ever happened ever.
Well, I think it's because you're still thinking about that word limit.
Yeah, no, I'm way over the word limit.
That's real. All right. Well, this is kind of a shorter one. I know we recorded later in the week, though. So the ratio of time listened to remaining time before the deadline seems equal. So
that completely makes sense.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Ulterior motive.
Also, universe. Rob and I just love baseball. This is where we talk about that. We don't need to get into it. We both love it a whole lot. But anyway,
spring training. Pay attention to injuries. Stats don't mean anything in spring training.
No, but Rob, I don't think you understand. This guy is in the best shape of his life. You know, he's moving up in the order probably. He's probably going to improve. He's been eating well, losing weight. Mm-hmm. All the other preseason
I'm in the best shape of my life, and that does nothing.
That's real. But, I mean, Pablo Sandoval, though, he's thin this time. Whatever.
For now.
Yeah. Tell the folks where they can get at you, Rob.
You can find me on Razzball.com. I write about transfers and rankings, all about the official game. And you can find my on Twitter at Smokey_Luke. I just realized I completely did that opposite of what I normally do. And then you can find me and Kevin on our DFS fantasy show on VIPBet.com. And Kevin will tell you about everything else he does because he's all over the place.
Yeah, I'm Kevin DeVries. I'm at Kevroff on Twitter. I also host the EPL Roundtable on this very channel. I'm also now the lead fantasy writer over at Goal.com. So there are 3 articles a week from me. So go check those out. The ones this week will be divided by days. So 3 people from the matchups on the Saturday. And then in that format, you can add people for the Sunday or Monday if you aren't pleased with who did stuff on the Saturday. It's kind of like the Euros game was over the summer in that regard. And so there will be a Super Subs article that will go up on Friday. What else? Oh, yeah. You already mentioned the DFS video. And, oh, TheEaglesBeak.com. I also write an article each week for them. So be sure to check that out. And there's probably like 98 things I'm forgetting. But whatever. Hey, do well in fantasy. And we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.